shout the victory. Please be seated. Well, good evening to everybody. Make sure that, there we go, my mic is on. Good to be with you. Looking around as I sing, and what beautiful singing. Lifting up praises to God and seeing so many friends and workers, co-workers from the past, which were mostly friends as well, but enjoying seeing your faces and seeing more boots around. You know, that was encouraging. Scott had his boots on. I looked over as a young man over here. I think I'm starting a fashion trend here in Henderson. So Judd was poking fun, I think, and he said, I've got a shirt, I think, just like that I got at Tractor Supply. And I thought about it. That's exactly where I got it. You know, if I was living here in Henderson, would I be wearing this? Probably not. But living where we do, I'm pretty dressed up on Sunday mornings in Lewistown. And it fits in just well. And that's why I wear it when I come here, is to show you what it looks like over in that part of the woods. And brethren meeting this morning there in Lewistown and worshiping just like you were this morning. And that's encouraging to me. To know that wherever we go, we can worship God. So today I'm going to talk with you just briefly. We've got some thoughts about who God is and why we need God. And I think I'm running the clicker. Is that what this little guy is? So, no, we don't want to go the other way. All right, thank you. I've never used a tower before. So, who do you need God to be today? And that's why the title of my lesson, just God is, and then fill in the blank. Because God's a lot of different things to us, isn't he? Depends on where you are in your life, what you're dealing with, what kind of stresses are in your life, what kind of joys maybe. Maybe there's some really joyous times. But for the most part, we all seem to struggle in different ways. And I know there's people in the room, especially a room this large, that you're struggling. There's tough stuff going on at home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's just internal. Maybe it's in your heart. And God needs to fill in those gaps that you're missing. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. And I may kind of touch on our work throughout the lesson tonight just a little bit. So who do you need God to be? Where are you tonight? I want you to kind of think about that a little bit. Where are you in your life? What do you need God to be in the next days and weeks ahead? I really think about God as my provider. When we got ready to think about moving to Lewistown, it wasn't a lot of thought that went into that. Kind of sounds bad, but it was really a lot of feeling like God was leading us to something, and then all of a sudden the opportunity arises. And God had provided that. And I just kind of talked about that before I even talked about this exact point, but God had prepared me with my work at Fried Hardeman, with my interactions with many of you, so that when the time came for us to make that transition, a lot of the support that we needed kind of just fell into place. God had already made all these connections through the decades, and it just presented itself to us. So God knew ahead of time what we would need to be doing. And he presented that to us, almost kind of laid it out in front of us. And that's the kind of God we serve. He's a provider. He will give you what you need. 1 Timothy 6:17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now, when you really get into that word provide, and I know there's folks much more learned than I am in this kind of thing, but I was talking to a buddy from South Africa. He's a minister at Billings. And we were talking at Thanksgiving about providing and provision. He said, Russell, do you know that word provision? He said, it's got that word vision in it. He said, that the etymology of that word is to see. That God actually sees the needs before they even really exist. And he plans ahead to provide for you. Now that's comforting to me. My vision is limited. Not my physical vision, but my vision to know what to expect, what's coming up. But God's not limited in that. He knows what you're going to need before you know it, and he provides it. So maybe you need a provider. Maybe you are struggling in some ways with just life. You've got job worries that are bothering you. Maybe it's home. Maybe it's any number of things. I want you to know that God will provide. He'll give you what you need. Young people, you're getting ready to make choices in life that are they're scary. They're uncertain. And God will provide if we follow Him. We just got to choose that. We have to choose God. So do we really trust God like we should? And that's one of the areas where I think we have to really think about. Do we allow worry to creep into our faith so that we don't trust that God will provide? And I think that's probably one of the greatest sins, really, is what it comes down to, is allowing worry to override our faith. Because that's what we do in our society. We think about, well, it's coming up. This is going to be coming up. I've got kids graduating. I've got big decisions to make. And then we allow that worry to say, you know, God doesn't have all this figured out. God's not going to provide for me. When we moved to Lewistown, probably naive, but part of me was like, God's going to take care of this. I don't know how, but I know that I've got a couple of years of time. And in that time, the Lewistown Church had enough money to pay us. And after that, it was up to us to figure that out. But we had churches calling us. Hey, we heard that you're going to be doing mission work there. We'd like to support you. A couple of churches over in Middle Tennessee that have been supporting the work in Lewistown for 30-plus years. They're very small, rural areas. And a couple of them have said, you know, we can't send any more money, Russell. We don't have any more to give. Two churches in our supporters called this year before I could even ask and said, we've got a good budget increase. We would like to increase our support of your work. And God's provided. Without me even asking, God just provides. If you look for it in your life, you'll see that too. God is always there, ready to provide. It doesn't mean we have to have the nicest of everything. You may have to wear boots and Wrangler shirts that are cheap from Tractor Supply. You don't have to have the nicest of everything there is, but God's going to give you what you need. And God's providing is not a suggestion. He's not going to say, you know, I would like to provide for you. He has promised that He will provide for you. Put trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. And He will take care of us. God is a counselor. A counselor is someone, and I found this out through my work. I'm not a professional counselor. There's several of you in the room that are. And more, the ones I talked to have said, yes, I'm professional counselor, Russell, but here's what you need to do. Just listen to people and get them to talk back. I think that's really oversimplifying it, and if you want to come to me later and tell me I'm terrible for saying that if you're a counselor, but really that's what you get folks to do in marriage counseling and other things. Folks that don't want to communicate, you get them to communicate with each other. I think we need to communicate better with God. Isaiah 9, it talks about Jesus being that wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our Father, our Savior, the Spirit, wants to communicate with us. He wants to listen to what we have to say. So we need to take time to do that. There's kind of a trend, I think. I kind of see it going through the brotherhood of allowing time for God to talk with us. So meditation, just quiet time. Allowing yourself to sit and be quiet. That's so messed up in today's world because we've got these things here. They rule our lives in a lot of ways, don't they? Boy, I'm getting on some sacred cows maybe. I don't know. We don't want to talk about those devices. I'm pretty bad about that device. But there's no time for quietness. I've got to get on Facebook. I do keep up with Facebook with a lot of you. I like that. But there needs to be time where I'm sitting and just being with God. That counselor wants to help you, but you've got to allow him to speak to you, and you have to be able to speak to him. We can do that through prayer, quiet time, meditation. You can call it what you would like, but it's just a being with God and not being busy about something else. Young people, start that trend early. It might be 10 minutes before school in the morning. It might be your coffee before your morning run. It might be a set-aside time. I've got a minister friend in Billings. He has a closet in his office. He goes in his closet and sits in a chair and shuts the door. Now, that might seem a little weird, but he's got to where he can sit there for 30 minutes and not think of anything. Now, some of you men are really good at not thinking of anything all the time, right? Your wife points that out every once in a while. But if you'll just sit in that chair and just allow God to speak through quietness, stillness. Some of you got our newsletter. I think we sent out a couple of 3 days ago. And on a hike, we went on. We decided that for 30 minutes on that hike, we would not speak. So we would only allow ourselves just to hear God around us. And that was actually from that friend in Billings who had done the same with his family. It went by so quick, and I loved it. So next time you're out on a walk with the family, say, okay, let's go 10 minutes maybe without speaking. Just be quiet. And let's have that relationship with God. That wonderful counselor wants to have that relationship, but he has got to have us communicating with him. He cares about us. We have a Savior, just like in Hebrews 4 there, who has gone through the things that we have. He's been tempted in all ways in which we've been tempted. And therefore, he understands. He truly cares. He truly understands us. Now, all of you counselors out there, man, you're wonderful. You do great things. But you're a human. And maybe there's times at which you've given some advice that you look back and like, wow, I wished I wouldn't have done that. I know as a minister, I've looked back and thought, oh, I think I could have done this a little better or that a little better. We serve a God, that great counselor, who's got the truth, who has perfect truth. He is life. We can trust in everything he says. He will not lead us astray. And I find comfort in that. Especially the older I get, knowing there's folks more wise than myself is really comforting. And God wants us to listen to him as well. We do that through prayer, through Bible study, and I think through that quiet time of meditation. Now, one thing I would like to mention. Did I just turn something on? Okay, we'll see. Okay. Maybe I'm doing that. I will quit doing that. I'm not doing that, I promise. They're just messing with me up top now. One thing I wanted to mention around this slide, we do a lot of counseling in Lewistown. And I worked with Dr. Barry England recently. He conducted a marriage seminar in Lewistown. And then we've worked with some couples who are struggling. And then we also conducted a marriage enrichment class for about six couples. And through one of those connections, I actually married a couple that were in that class. They were in premarital counseling with me. And then they introduced me to a couple who were struggling. And that couple are now attending our church and being able to work with them. So there's a lot of area for marriage enrichment, marriage seminars, different things where we can make some headway there in Lewistown. And we're doing our best to do that. We end up doing a lot of counseling with people who just hurt them, making poor life choices, and we reach out to them and just be a friend. Mostly listening. Listening to them and letting them know that we care about them and then showing them that care through action. And that seems to be making a difference in people's lives. And we just let God use us the best way we can. Allison ends up doing a lot of counseling with women and just sitting down talking to those ladies that are hurting. God's our friend. That's one aspect of it that I don't want to belittle God, because putting ourselves on the same level of God, that's not my intention, but he wants to have that intimate personal relationship. John 15:12 talks about this. It's Jesus talking to his disciples. You know, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. There's a catch there. We need to be able to have that respect to obey God. He's commanded us to listen to him, to obey him. And we need to do that. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. As I sit down and think about what friends do for us, there's so much. There's sacrifice involved. There's guidance and advice that we can give the folks. But laying down our life, boy, that's a tough one. We saw, in a way, I guess, over the weekend, I was also keeping up with the paramedic situation there in Nashville where we had a loss of life. Someone willing to lay down their life. You get into one of those vehicles, you're pretty much saying, I'm willing to sacrifice to get this person from point A to point B. So we lift up that family today. The friends that we think about in Lewistown there, we have such a close relationship with the other Churches of Christ. Roundup Church of Christ is about 70 miles away, and it's only 5 people right now. One of our members, strong members, is actually driving there twice a month to preach for them. So they're kind of pulling away from our congregation to go work with a smaller congregation. So there's even missionary outreach from our little congregation of folks. And I think that's encouraging. You've got so much talent in the room. We could just take a few of you and borrow you for about a year. And we could do some really neat work. But you've got a lot of good work to do here. I appreciate Scott's mention of that. There's folks right here in Chester County that need the gospel. And it's our job. It's your job to bring that to them. But I think about the church in Montana, how close we are. We have about 3 or 4 youth rallies that we conduct a year. We have about 90 to 100 kids from around the state and out of Canada that will attend those youth rallies and be encouraged. We have a Bible camp there as well, and not in Lewistown, but in Yellowstone Bible Camp. And that's been a blessing. I know Wayne was able to visit there. There's such a bond among the brethren there, that being friends with them, that encourages me. We love your friendship. We don't get to see you as much as we'd like. But the church there in Montana is nice and strong. God's also our healer. Maybe you need a healer. I've struggled with different medical problems. I've had some headaches for a couple of years now, and they come in about every day, same time. They call them cluster headaches, for those of you that are interested. And that's been it's been a real pain, so to speak. It's terrible. Terrible preacher joke. My lower back gives me trouble. I have a bulging disc. So I could whine to you all day. The good thing about it is God's a counselor. He doesn't mind if I whine to him. If I whine to you too much, you're going to be like, let's move on to something else. But we can tell God our problems. Physical, spiritual, emotional. I see a lot of emotional hurt in our world today. Folks are just torn. Whatever it might be, if it's family issues, if it's things going on at work, if it's social issues, whatever it might be, God wants to heal that for you. If you're here tonight and you're hurting in big ways, maybe you need prayers. Maybe you need God to reach down and just help you physically. We pray for folks to get better, don't we? And I think we get a little weirded out about talking about God actually healing us. But that's why we pray, I believe, is that we expect God can do that. Whether he does that providentially, whether he does that through the mechanics of our bodies. We have amazing bodies that can do really cool things with diseases and push those out. God wants to do that for us. We just need to ask him. But when it comes to those deeper hurts, those spiritual hurts, I think God looks at us not in the terms of the physical or the spiritual. I think he looks at us as a whole, as a person. He doesn't separate that out in my viewpoint. He looks at it and says, I want to heal you totally. I want to make you whole. And for so many, that's more spiritual or emotional than it is in a physical sense. If you're needing that, look to him as that healer. And he can provide that for you. He's going to heal the whole body, not just part of it. We need freedom from guilt. I see that racking, folks. I work at, I'm the chair or the president of the Inspired Pregnancy Care Center there in Lewistown. You can look it up if you'd like. And it's a board of folks that just get together to encourage women to choose life rather than choosing abortion. You want to talk about true guilt. Talk to a lady who's had an abortion. In a room this big, there's several of you who have had abortions. The number is about 1 out of 3. And I want you to know that God can heal and forgive you for that. There's groups that you can meet with, to talk with, that can help heal that old wound that's out there. And I know some of you are like, no, that doesn't occur in Henderson. Yeah, it does. It occurs everywhere. And if you're struggling with that, it's okay, and God can forgive you for that. God forgives murder. He forgives abortion. He forgives greed, addiction, lust, vanity, whatever it is that you struggle with. And you struggle with some of those. I struggle with some of those. God can heal you of that if you'll allow him to. We try to show that to folks in Lewistown. We got a lot of hurt in Lewistown, in the church, in the community, whatever it might be. And God wants to heal that. And he'll use people just like you to reach out to those people that are hurting and help heal them. Take that opportunity. Do the hard things. Talk about the hard things. Abortion's not easy to talk about. It's not easy to talk about lust or any of those things that we can talk about on that list. But we do that. We confess to one another. We open up to one another. And God can heal those things if we ask forgiveness, if we allow ourselves to be forgiven. The reason when we're in Lewistown, these next two slides kind of go together. We're in Lewistown to serve the people there because God is a judge. And that one day he's going to judge everyone. And we want all the folks that are going to bow that knee before him to be able to say, yes, I served you with all my heart, Lord, and I want to be with you forever. And there's a lot of folks there that will not have that opportunity unless somebody tells them. the same as it is right here in Chester County. You need to take that opportunity. Talk to them about their souls. Talk to them about what's important. It says that God's a judge. It says it there in verse 10, He will judge the people with equity. He understands and He'll do it fairly. In the next verse, it says that He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. Once again, I like putting my faith in someone that's so much wiser and can see, uses that word provision, can see ahead as to what they're going to need. And then do it fairly. Because that's who our God is. There's a lot of folks that would say there is no right or wrong no more. We see that more and more in our society, I believe. There's no consequences. I want to live as I want to. And then eat, drink, and be merry type of attitude. But God's righteous. He will call us to bear for our sins if we have not accepted Christ the way we've been commanded to. And this slide as well. God's our Savior. He's one who saves. I think about some tragedy that just occurred. Allison's brother, Landon, he went to Freed Hardeman here. Several of you know him. His best friend in Mountain Home, Arkansas, was killed in a tragic boating accident. And I think about someone trying to save him. His daughter was there. His 13-year-old daughter tried to pull him out of the water and couldn't do that. She was barely saved by someone else that was able to reach down and pull her out of that water. The good thing about that situation is that that young man, 38 years old, knew who his Savior was. They couldn't get him out of that water in time. They couldn't save his physical life, but his spiritual life is intact. He's alive and well today. He is reigning today. That's hard to know that we could be taken from this life at any point. 38 years old, that's younger than me. I don't like to think about that. A lot of us don't like to think about our day when we get older and maybe tomorrow, whatever it might be. We need a Savior. Your sin separates you from God. Our Savior reconciles that. He redeems us. He makes us whole. The whole body, not just a part of it, but the whole body. And He brings us to Him. We want to do that more and more in Lewistown. We want to be able to send that message out to people, to let them know that there is a God who's worth serving. He is worthy of all our praise, and that He has that power to redeem us of all these terrible things that we've done. I don't know that, sometimes I like to say, well, people aren't all bad, but yet the Scripture's telling me something different. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So we have to have that Savior. We need that Savior. Lastly, God is everlasting. He is there. He will always be there. He is. He says He's the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. God's already there. He's waiting on us. He's always thinking of us. He cares for us. He's a counselor. He's a friend. He's a judge, but He's a Savior. We want to do that in Lewistown for a long time to come. We don't know what God will do with us in the future. We kind of leave that up to Him. But as for us, we want to serve. We want to serve in Lewistown and do what God's called us to do. And that's to tell folks, you're needing a Savior. We try to do that through a lot of different ways. I serve on the community cupboard. I'm the chair of that program. My wife's running Bible studies with ladies on Mondays. She's got another private study group that she's a part of. We reach out through the fire department, EMT, whatever it might be, whatever avenue it is. We try to find those ways that we can make a difference in people's lives. I know you do that here, but I want to encourage you to do it all the more. The days are drawing short, and we need to be busy about God's work. So today, as we finish up, I think that's all my slides. If you are someone who's struggling right now, and there are those of you that are, I want you to think about what you need God to be. He's all of those things that we've mentioned, and He's all so many more. And He wants to make you whole. He wants to heal that whole body. If you need prayers for forgiveness, maybe there's some of those things we've mentioned that you really struggle with. You might not have to tell everybody today what that is, but you might just say, I want forgiveness and I need someone to pray for me. It might be that you want to know how to be a disciple. I want to walk with God. How do I do that? And I can tell you that it's a fairly simple thing. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to put Him on in baptism. We know that there's changing and turning and confession, but the long and the short of it is you need to trust in Jesus, and then you need to do what He's asked you to do. So there may be some of you that need to do that. We've got an invitation song, I'm assuming, that's picked out. And at this time, if you have any of those needs, if you let it be known as we stand and sing this song.